Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't think I've ever, I was working in New York for 4 years. I don't think I ever talked about Isles hockey.
Did anybody ever talk Isles hockey in New York?
Yeah, some. I mean, a couple of guys talk hockey, but barely ever talk hockey.
Boomer?
Period.
Beningo?
Beningo doesn't care about hockey. That's Manisha's guy, Beningo.
But Beningo!
Boomer loves hockey. Steve Summers will throw in hockey once in a while, but usually it's the Rangers, not the Islanders. I don't know. Manish, do you like hockey?
I do not like hockey, actually. I don't hate hockey. But,
no, I don't hate it either, but it's just, you know, we don't talk about it very often, and
yeah,
I never did in
I'll
New York.
I'll watch the playoffs every now and then if it involves Philadelphia. So other than that, I could do without hockey. I have a running joke with a couple close friends of mine who are diehard hockey fans, and I say, you know, I've been saying for like 30 years that hopefully one day they'll abolish hockey in the United States.
Yeah, it's not going that far, but they should abolish Knicks basketball in the United States. I'll tell you that with that idiot owner there. But
I don't disagree.
Yeah. All right, we're talking with Manish Mehta, of course, from the Daily News, and a lot of New York Cleveland related news here. Somewhat. Let's start with Odell Beckham here, Manish, because this is a story that we keep bringing up. People keep poo-pooing it, and then another story gets reported. Another story. What do you believe is the truth about all these Odell Beckham trade rumors?
I think that the head coach wants to trade him. I don't know if it's an organizational decision, or I don't know if the general manager or the other coaches agree with Pat Shurmur, and Pat Shurmur obviously has not said anything like that publicly, but just my sense from how information has gotten out and who has reported certain information, my sense is that the head coach wouldn't shed a tear if they traded him.
What do you think it would take, Manish, to get this deal done?
Yeah, that's a great question, Dustin.
Two first-round picks?
The asking price can be whatever they want,
sure.
Right? So two first-round picks can be the asking price. I don't think in 2019, any team is giving up two first-round picks for a wide receiver, even someone of Odell Beckham's caliber. So you would have to believe a first-round pick and then another premium pick, whether that's a future two, maybe a package of mid-round picks, like a three and a four along with a one, something like that. But I don't think there's any player, frankly, unless it's a quarterback, that is worth giving up two first-round picks. That's not going to happen. So the Giants, could ask whatever they want, but if Cleveland, for example, is willing to dole out a first-round pick and maybe two other premium picks, in NFL jargon, premium picks are first three rounds, so a one, a two, and a three, maybe in the future in 2020, I mean that could possibly get it done. I don't know, but clearly there is a willingness to some degree to move this player, and again, just based on who has reported what about this, I get a sense that the head coach wouldn't mind if they could get something in return.
What do you think the ultimate plan is there, Manish, for the Giants? I mean, are they doing a teardown? Are they trying to win this season? Because I'm just trying to wrap my head around why they would trade Odell if they were trying to win, right?
Yeah, look, they have a lot of weapons, outside of Odell Beckham. I still think they have a tremendous offense without him. With him takes it to a different level, of course. But to answer your question, what are they doing? Well, the fact that they're keeping Eli Manning for at least 2019 leads you to believe that on some level they think they can be, a playoff contending team. If you look at the record, of course, over the last couple of years, I would probably disagree with that. But they do have a lot of firepower on offense. They bolster their offensive line. Most recently with this trade with you guys out there, getting a guard. So on paper, their line looks pretty solid. And if you put Saquon Barkley behind an even adequate line, there's no telling what he can do. And we already saw what he did last year as a rookie behind a bad offensive line. So I think that they believe that they can contend. So there is a disconnect there, because if you think you can contend, why would in the world would you ever trade Odell Beckham? But I think that the general feeling is that, you know, they can give it a run. I don't know if that means winning 9 games and trying to sneak into the playoffs that way. But they're in a difficult spot because their defense is frankly atrocious. They don't even have a pass rusher now after they traded Vernon, and Vernon wasn't really that much of an impact player for them last year anyway. So they got a lot of work to do. They've got that first pick. I'd be very curious to see, you know, what they do with it. I would tend to believe that they would take one of these front seven players who are available, defensive linemen, who are probably going to be available at their pick. I'm not a guy who thinks that they're going to take the quarterback. I don't think they're going to take Haskins.
We're talking with Manish Mehta from the Daily News. Manish, you mentioned Olivier Vernon, who the Browns acquired. They also signed a former Jet, Sheldon Richardson, today to add to a defensive line that already had Myles Garrett, Larry Ogunjobi. It looks like on paper they have a really good front four. What did you think of those moves so far for the Browns?
Well, I love the Sheldon Richardson move. I've been a big proponent and fan of Sheldon Richardson as a player from the minute that he came into the league. They traded him to Seattle. I didn't necessarily agree with that. I thought, in retrospect, you know, it was a fair trade. They got a veteran guy in Jermaine Kearse who really solidified their room, and a draft pick that they ultimately used in a package to move up to be in position to get Sam Darnold last year. So it worked out on that end. But just from a football perspective, I mean, this guy, you know, he's best as a three technique. He's really a disruptor. It's interesting because when you look at his stats, I don't know what the numbers are offhand. You know, they don't necessarily jump off the page. He's not a big sack guy per se, but he really does get the quarterback off the spot. He is a disruptor, and if you talk to people not only in Minnesota but in Seattle, you know, they'll tell you as much. And he's a guy who does, you know, create some havoc, even if he doesn't necessarily get home, you know, as often as I know that he would like. I thought that was a good signing. You know, I think, you know, Dorsey knows what he's doing, and Sheldon Richards is a good locker room guy. What's interesting about Sheldon, and you know, I haven't been around him for the last couple of years, but talking to people that know him and then obviously experiencing him firsthand to start his career, he is a very good locker room presence. I'm not exactly sure how that was portrayed you know, in his past two stops, but he is a great locker room guy. If you talk to any teammate, they'll tell you as much. He's got a lot of natural ability, a lot of, you know, natural gifts, and at least as a younger player, I think, you know, going to the weight room constantly and consistently, you know, things of that nature maybe were a little bit of a nuisance for him. I don't know if he's, you know, grown out of that or changed that. But again, this guy legitimately loves football. It's not BS. I mean, this is a guy who loves football, a guy who, you know, goes 100 miles an hour, frankly, you know, when he's between the lines. So in that respect, I thought that was a good deal. Vernon, you know, like I said before, the production just wasn't there the last couple of years. He clearly did not live up to his contract. Now, that being said, because he is surrounded by so many quality players in Cleveland, I think he can kind of maybe morph back to what he used to be before he came to the Giants, where he was not, you know, asked to carry the load or the burden, if you will. So, you know, there's a potential for him to kind of resurrect his career, but, you know, I certainly believe that defensive front line for Cleveland is terrific right now.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. So somebody, you know, Paul Dottino was on with us last week, and he described Olivier Vernon, and he's more of a Robin than a Batman, which kind of fits with this team. And to your point on Sheldon Richardson, obviously said a lot of good things about him. With all the crazy money being spent here in the last 2 days, it seems like his contract comparatively to some of these others, it was pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it's a 3-year deal. What was the guaranteed money on that?
I think it was 17, I believe.
Yeah, 17.
Yeah.
Look, it's a good deal. What's interesting to me is that he is such a talented player, and now he's on his fourth team, and, you know, still, you know, in his prime, I guess. You know, he's clearly not on the downside. He's not in the twilight of his career. He got kind of caught in that vortex of 1-year deals, you know, after the Seattle trade, then leaving in free agency and signing the 1-year deal with Minnesota, kind of hoping to latch on to a winner and maybe get a ring. I think he's in a terrific position, frankly, to do that in Cleveland over the next 2 or 3 years. As I said to you guys before, I think this is a team on the come, and a team that I think is going, and should be at least, be the you know, the division, the preseason division favorite. So, yeah, he's been kind of caught in a weird spot, because I remember a few years back, before he was traded, you know, he had visions of, you know, that big payday, you know, these monster contracts that you're seeing from some of these guys. I thought, you know, he was kind of on track to get one of those, and I know that he did as well. So, you know, it hasn't panned out that way, but clearly he's a very effective player, and I think in many ways, I didn't think it was going to unfold like this for him, but I think in many ways he's one of the more underrated players along the defensive line in this league.
So Anthony Barr pulls out of his contract today, his negotiations, which is bizarre. I know the Jets have still been in play with Le'Veon Bell, but now they have more cap space to play with. Do you expect Le'Veon to sign with the Jets?
Yeah, look, I don't see another team out there as a viable suitor, to be perfectly honest with you, unless there's a stealth team, and that's certainly possible. I remember, you know, many years ago, Nnamdi Asamoah, the Jets were flirting with him when he was a top, you know, a top cornerback, and then out of the blue, the Eagles kind of swooped in there and signed him. So I guess that's possible. I don't think it's likely. I think all the signs are pointing to Le'Veon Bell ultimately becoming Jet. I know that as of a few hours ago, you know, I was told that the Jets made their final offer and they were waiting to hear back. They weren't going to wait all night for him. I think the way it was described to me was that they were going to wait a short amount of time, and you know, if he was still non-committal, that they would prepare to move on, you know, to their Plan B, whoever that may be. So, you know, I think at this point at 3:30, it would be an upset if the Jets didn't get him, just based on everything that you kind of hear. But the Anthony Barr ones, it's interesting. It seems like every year there's always somebody that kind of backs out because you don't have a deal, right, until the name's on the dotted line, and you can't have that until 4 o'clock tomorrow. It is disappointing, though, because I know people in the building were very excited last night, you know, going to bed thinking that they had a good chance at C.J. Mosley because they had already locked up in their mind Barr, and this morning they locked up C.J. Mosley. So they, you know, they were really kind of on cloud nine thinking that they got two Pro Bowl linebackers in the prime of their career. I think both these guys are 27, or Barr's going to be 27 next week. And really interesting players, not pass rushers per se. And they're going to use, they wanted to use Barr in that role a little bit more off the edge, but they really kind of viewed him as a Swiss Army knife, a versatile piece for Greg Williams. I was kind of told like a better version of Jamie Collins, and you guys are obviously familiar right with that. So yeah, it's wild when you have this this window where you only have a verbal agreement. You know, verbal agreement isn't binding, and guys can back out. You know, my understanding was that, and I know it's been out there since, that Barr really liked the, you know, the atmosphere, the team, the organization, the place in Minnesota, and so when they gave him a little bit more money, after he decided, you know what, I want to stay here. It was less money than what the Jets offered, so I don't think you can fault the Jets. You know, they offered him a tremendous contract, somewhere in the 14, 15 million a year range, and he just decided to go to, you know, stay with an organization that he still believes in.
Manish Mehta, The Daily News with us. Manish, I am convinced of two things right now. I'm convinced that the Jacksonville Jaguars' Nick Foles marriage will be a disaster. Nick Foles. And I am convinced, and I've been convinced of this other thing from the moment they hired him, and nothing we've seen in the last year has changed my mind, that the game has passed John Gruden by, and he will never have success in Oakland/Vegas. Your thoughts on both of those things?
Well, look, to me, Nick Foles is a stopgap, regardless of what the contract says and the money says, and he's a short-term solution, a Band-Aid, however you want to describe it. Hopefully that Band-Aid lasts a little bit longer for him in Jacksonville than it did for Tyrod Taylor in Cleveland last year. I was firsthand witness to the end of the Tyrod Taylor era in that Thursday night game against the Jets. But look, I don't know if the Jaguars should expect miracles, and clearly he's familiar with John DeFilippo, who was his quarterback's coach in Philadelphia. Will it be a disaster? I don't know if it'll be a disaster, but I would be very surprised if Nick Foles is able to recapture the magic that he had captured in short spurts in Philly these last couple years. And as far as Gruden goes, he hasn't shown me anything. I don't know how you guys feel about the Antonio Brown trade. You probably feel differently than me because I seem to be in the minority in thinking that Antonio Brown can be a terrific player for the Raiders, and I know a lot of people look at him as a, you know, malcontent and a guy who...
But you've rewarded, Manish, sorry to cut you up. My concern would be, and I think he probably will be a pretty good player, but my concern would be that I just rewarded a guy who quit on his team, essentially. And what message does that send to my team?
Yeah, look, I get that. I also remember a time not so long ago when Randy Moss did not want to catch passes from, I think, Andrew Walter in Oakland, and he quit on the Raiders. And
all right, fair.
Very similar
fair.
You know, things were being said about that, and we obviously know what Randy Moss did in New England. And Randy Moss is a Hall of Fame player. Antonio Brown, in my estimation, will be a Hall of Fame player. So I think when you're talking about players of that caliber, did he check out in Pittsburgh? Probably so, and a lot of that stemmed from his relationship with the quarterback, but I really, frankly, don't see any reason why he can't still be the elite player that he was in Pittsburgh now that he's playing with Derek Carr in Oakland.
Manish, I know you know the Jets locker room very well, and this is going to be a conversation as we follow both careers of Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. How did Sam end up the season, and what are people saying about Sam going forward?
Well, people love him out here. Fans, organization, me personally, I think he's going to be a terrific player. It is going to be fun, frankly, to see how his career unfolds, parallel with Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen, if Josh Rosen stays in Arizona or goes elsewhere, and even Josh Allen, lesser degree, Lamar Jackson. But, look, I think both guys landed in the exact right spots, because for as good as Baker Mayfield was last year, I'm just not sure that his personality and this area would necessarily be a good fit. Now, ultimately, his talent might have prevailed, and he might have, been a terrific player for the Jets as well. I don't know, but I just think his personality was probably better suited for Cleveland, whereas a guy like Sam Darnold, who's kind of a cool customer, very intense and competitive, but I don't think he takes things necessarily so personally. I don't think he's necessarily as thin-skinned as Baker Mayfield, and that's the type of personality that you need in this market. So I think that Darnold made more sense for New York. From a talent perspective, clearly both guys are, have a ton of ability. But I'll be interested to see, we have this conversation 10 years from now, who's got the better career, who's had more success from a team perspective, and maybe who has struggled. Because I think both these guys are going to be good quarterbacks. I see a baseline of maybe a Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers caliber player, and I don't know about you guys, but if the Jets could get somebody who has had the career of a Phillip Rivers or a Matt Ryan, sure, I think they'd be happy.
No doubt. The only thing I'll say on the Baker Mayfield comment about him being maybe a little more sensitive is that I think, I was concerned. That was my one concern about Baker when they drafted him. Would his emotions get in his way? And what I believe I've learned in the year that he's been here is that the emotion that he plays with makes him better. And it works the opposite as it does for a lot of other people.
Yeah, I think there's truth in that. It's only year one. I don't know.
Sure, we're going to see it longer.
Cumulative effect, 4 or 5 years down the road. Well, I will say is this: no matter what anybody in the media says about Sam Darnold, good or bad, you're not going to get a reaction out of him,
right,
like you saw, with Baker and some of the local media recently.
Yeah, fair enough. Manish, appreciate the time as always, man. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.